Shane, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Daily Program this morning. Now, this result in the vote for the legislation last night, obviously it wouldn't be what you were hoping for in the organisation Dying with Dignity, but were you surprised?
Well, we knew the numbers were tight, but to be honest, we had thought that we would have this law passed by one vote rather than fail by one vote. So personally, I was devastated. I sat in Parliament for the full 12 hours yesterday, right up until after 11 p.m, and it was an emotional final vote. We lobbied hard to have one or two people who said that they were undecided to just abstain, because had one of them abstained, that would have been a tied vote, and then the Speaker would have had the the deciding vote, and the Speaker, John Ajarka, would have supported the law. So that would have taken it to the lower house. And yes, it would have been, it would be a challenge in the lower house, but we were getting more and more lower house members moving and coming across to support the bill. So I would have liked to see it get to the lower house.
What kind of arguments are you actually hearing against the bill, against voluntary assisted dying?
Well, look, the most frustrating thing, obviously, some of the opponents in the upper house have religious objections, people like Fred Nile, of course. But the most disappointing ones, I suppose, are those that say they weren't really criticising the bill that Trevor Khan and the working group had put together over 2 years, that if it had passed would have been the most conservative bill in the world with the toughest safeguards. They weren't really criticising that bill. They were saying, if we pass this bill, where will it lead in the future? We will have the vulnerable and the disabled, euthanized against their will, really science fiction sort of scenarios, which is just so disappointing, because clearly 85% of the Australian population support assisted dying. That's based on a poll that was just carried out 2 weeks ago by Roy Morgan Research. 85%. There's no other social issue that has that sort of number supporting it. Yet they've turned their back on Australians, but more importantly, they've turned their back on the terminally ill who are facing unbearable suffering, because I'm not saying that everyone with a terminal illness will die badly, but there is a significant number who will suffer horrendous symptoms that cannot be relieved by even the best palliative care. And it's those people that I feel saddest about today, because the next time that this can come before the New South Wales Parliament will not be until after the next election, which is 2019, and it's unlikely to come up even in 2019. So I'd say 2020 at the earliest for people living in New South Wales.
Before it comes up, before a vote again, would you be able to give us any sort of ideas what kind of amendments would be likely to be made to that particular bill? Because you mentioned there it was, in comparison to other bills worldwide, a very, very conservative bill already with protections in place. But do you have any idea what kind of amendments would actually be done to the bill before it's put to a vote again?
Well, there certainly wouldn't be any additional safeguards. It would be hard to think of anything else that could be done that would make... I mean, the people that oppose these bills, they're never going to support them. I mean, we're seeing the debate continue in Victoria today. It's gone all through the night. I don't know whether listeners would have been following, but the fate of the Victorian bill should be decided hopefully by the weekend, but they're literally... They went all through the night with the debate, and it's going on right now. But the people who are trying to block this bill are putting up amendments, not really with the intention of making a safer bill. It's just to sort of block the bill from passing. So if we have another bill in New South Wales, which hopefully we will, I would actually like to see it, go closer to the Victorian bill, and which would mean, instead of the age limit being 25, I'd actually like to see it go back to 18. There's nowhere in the world where it's over 25, and there's no logical reason to have it over 25. The only reason why the Parliamentary Working Group had that was that there were one or two members of the upper house that said that they would give their support if that safeguard was in there. Unfortunately, one of those people opposed the bill anyway and came out quite a few weeks ago and said they wouldn't support it. But it was too late to then amend it. But I know that the working group, the majority of the working group, would have been happier with the 18 years. We know that an adult in all other circumstances is 18 years, so it just didn't make sense to have it 25.
And just finally, you did mention the Victoria bill there. This vote in New South Wales, is it likely to affect the proposed legislation in any other states at the moment?
That's a good point. Probably not. I think Victoria, you know, will get it across the line. I really hope so. I mean, nothing is ever sure. As I said, we were expecting we would just get it through New South Wales and it failed. But we hope it'll get through in Victoria. And then Western Australia is waiting to introduce their bill. They will base it very closely on the Victorian bill. They'll have the numbers in Western Australia. Obviously, they've got the same 85% support in the community. So I think we'll see Western Australia probably the next one to go. And, you know, South Australia will be keen to reintroduce, so will Tasmania. Who knows? We might even have a law in Queensland. Pauline Hanson, One Nation, is fully supportive of euthanasia laws. The Labor government up there is supportive. So within the next 5 or 6 years, hopefully, every Australian will have access to these laws.
Well, Shane, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Sean.